This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Seoul, Dotna. I'm Jenny Nyman, and we're talking trash on the Kenai Conversation. Well, garbage, that is. Recycling, composting, and the state of our landfill. This was recorded by Kathleen Gustafson at KBBI in Homer. The guests are Randy Arndt and Alexandra Ravello from the Kenai Peninsula Borough Resilience and Security Commission Solid Waste Committee. And we'll hear from Dan Court, Solid Waste Director at the Central Peninsula Landfill. If you're interested to find out more about the Solid Waste Committee or the Kenai Peninsula Borough Resilience and Security Commission as a whole, you can find them through the Planning Department on the borough's website, kpb.us.
The topic is solid waste, recycling, and composting. And I have guests from the Kenai Peninsula Borough Resilience and Security Commission Solid Waste Committee. So first, let's meet our guests and make sure they're on the line. Randy Arndt, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And Alexandra Ravello, if we could just take a moment, let's start with Randy. If you would introduce yourself to people, and I have a feeling you've been here a long time. I have a feeling a lot of people know you, Randy Arndt. But if you would take a minute to introduce yourself, and then we'll talk to Alexandra and talk a little bit about the commission first. So, Randy?
Yeah, thanks. We moved here in 57 before it was state, lived out at Green Timbers. Some of you will know where that was for a few years. Then we moved to Ocean Drive, where I spent most of my years, graduated from Homer High School. Pretty much lived here. All my children were born here. They're not able to get rid of me. I'll be here for a long time. But I got involved with this committee because actually I believe in a lot of what it's doing. I'm not really involved in the government type stuff very often, but I think this is being advisory. It's more of a situation in which we can look around and see areas that can be improved and the way the community can and basically the borough can actually move forward for the best in everybody involved.
And you're a builder by profession, is that right?
Yeah, I build energy efficient houses. I build 6-star houses pretty much. In the past, growing up here, we did the original water system, the original sewer system, a lot of the roads. We built 27 airports around the state, and so I have kind of a history of that. I do ground source heat pumps, air source heat pumps, you know, the energy side of things.
Thanks so much. And Alex Ravello, can you introduce yourself a little bit to people?
Sure. Yeah. I've moved to Homer a bit over 2 years ago, and I completed a doctorate degree in marine biology at the University of Alaska Fairbanks and lived in Sitka for a year. But I've always wanted to live in Homer. I've been coming to Homer for many years, going to the marine lab across the bay to do research, and so I moved here. Now I work for Project Grad, Kenai Peninsula, so I'm an after-school program educator, and I joined the RSAC because we have more opportunities for doing things locally and solving some of the problems that we're facing in the Kenai Peninsula Borough.
And thanks. That's Alex Ravello and Randy Arndt. Randy, can you talk a little bit about why did you get involved in the Resilience and Security Commission?
Well, actually, I'd seen an ad for this coming out, and normally I would just read on past, but I read it and I thought, you know, all the things that they want to do are all things that I do, you know, the energy efficiency side of things they wanted to push. And I recently got involved at a deeper level in the gardening side of things, where we moved from just composting to actually the microbes that are involved. And all of that stuff was stirring in my head, and I saw that. And then I've always been, we laugh about it. We call it recycling now, but I still have stuff that I've saved. Being a longtime Alaskan, you save everything and you reuse it. And I still have stuff from Long, stuff from, it says modern builders before Spinard. I have stuff that we use. I actually was able to put together a rather large, extreme greenhouse last year during the COVID thing, all built out of stuff that I've saved. So it's a kind of an interesting way we think of recycling, as just things being packaged up and sent away to some other place and reused. And it's much bigger than that. And I think that there's a lot of people, both sides of everything, that would like to see these things happen. And so all of this came together for me, and I just said, hey, I could do this. It's not what I normally do, but I can do this. And so I applied and they picked me, which was actually kind of surprising, but it worked out.
And when we were speaking a little bit in preparation for this, you made a really good point that I want to ask you, you know, if you want to comment on, which is that repurposing things and reusing things and recycling, this isn't, it's not a conservative value. It's not a liberal value. That's an Alaskan value that goes back to anybody who could, who needed to survive here.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, there's a lot of people who have been here for a really long time, and if you go in their shops, you know, there's a reason that there's all of this stuff, because in the beginning, there wasn't, you made a trip to Anchorage to get something. The mail took weeks. It was the point where you actually did it, and it was done for a good reason. And I believe the reason is still good. Not everybody can do this. I mean, if you rent, you obviously can't source stuff, but I live where I live here for 34 years, and my poor kids, when I pass away, they've got to get rid of all that stuff. But it's the ability to take something and make it usable, whether it's here at home or whether it's for somebody else, or whether it's even up at the landfill. We have that nice little tent where people are able to put things that are still too good to throw away and yet might not sell at the resale places, but somebody can pick it up and take it home and use it. And it just makes sense because it's, like you say, it's kind of the Alaskan way.
Thanks so much for that. And Alex, I want to ask you sort of the same question. What was it about the Resilience and Security Commission that made you want to get involved?
Well, it's the objectives of the commission are pretty broad. So there were many points that caught my attention. As a marine biologist and scientist, I'm always interested in the science behind what is going on in the landscape and the seascape around us. So if there's ways that we can interact with our environment in better ways, then that's where I'm interested in coming in. And I was really interested in the solid waste part of these objectives because I feel like there's, again, better ways. There's a lot of organizations that are doing great things around the country and around the world. And I feel like if we can tap into what people are doing and bring it home, we can save money for the community members and reduce waste, reduce the things that we're just throwing into the landfill that are potentially useful as a recycled or repurposed and upcycled item. And so I feel like it's bringing all this information together and seeing how we can adapt it locally to Alaska was really interesting for me.
Thanks so much. I should tell people that the Kenai Peninsula Borough Resilience and Security Advisory Commission holds regular meetings, and everyone is welcome to join in on their Zoom meetings. And if you go to kpb.us, the borough website, or even just plug Kenai Peninsula Borough Resilience and Security Advisory Commission into your favorite search engine, it's going to take you right to the page on the borough website. It's through the, if you're navigating it yourself, it's through the planning department. The next thing, I already have a question from someone who has emailed, and that question just came in, that where can we recycle number fives? So let me just address that for a minute, because I'm about to play an interview with Dan Court, who is the director of solid waste for the borough. And I think when you're saying where do we recycle number fives, I think you're talking about plastics. And he has some pretty surprising things to say about the fact that there really is no plastic recycling right now. They collect it, but there's nowhere for them to send it. There's no market for it. So before I get going with Dan Court's interview, Randy Arndt, do you think there's anything that you'd like to start off with, or anything that you want to say to get going?
Yeah, one of the things that has come up is I was actually surprised in educating myself as this went along with the recycling that we actually do, and it became apparent that while the borough is trying to do what it can, it is a very difficult thing. We live at the end of the road, if you think about that in terms of what do you do when you get rid of stuff. I have actually had communications, because I talk about this all the time with people, and one of the local coffee shop people, he mentioned that his uncle basically runs a plastics recycling thing in Indiana, and they just do it all local. And I haven't got all the information. I'm trying to chase that down. And it just makes more sense for us if we can on the peninsula through something like this or through a private. I'd like to see a lot of this stuff move out of the boroughs having to deal with it and let the community who creates the problem, or not problem, but creates the situation, actually fix it. And so there are situations in which we have people interested in this. And I know that Seward, JP, another member on our subcommittee, they're really working really hard at some of this stuff and trying to figure out how to make it happen. I would just say at this point in time, you know, the city has decided that it's going to stop us. And maybe that's what number five is. I don't know. It's plastic bags. I don't know what it is, but right now. Has decided that we can't use plastic bags. Well, that's a nice start, but that doesn't answer really any of the questions. And maybe the city needs to be involved somehow in either, you know, setting up and funding the recycle bins, because I think there are people that would use these things if they were there. I don't think that the people should privately have to do that. I think that it'd be nice if they did, but in reality, that's not going to happen. So maybe the city could look at this, and maybe there's somebody that can deal with that. So that's my thinking there. I think the private people are going to be the answer to this. And you're going to hear me hit this time after time after time, that I think the people need to deal with this, because that's the way it works.
Thanks. That's Randy Arndt from the Solid Waste Subcommittee of the Kenai Peninsula Borough Resilience and Security Commission. Alex, is there anything that you'd like to say before we go to Dan Court's interview?
No, I think Dan will probably give us a really good scoop on what's happening with solid waste in the Kenai Peninsula. I learned so much by our meetings with him and just the research we've been doing on the side, and working with JP from Seward, and Randy has informed me of a lot. So I'm very excited to move forward with some of our projects that we're planning.
Thanks so much. And I'm going to put Alex Ravello and Randy Arndt, they're going to stand by for a little while, because this is the director of solid waste for the Kenai Peninsula Borough. Here he comes now. We spoke yesterday. If you would introduce yourself to people.
I am actually the solid waste director for the entire peninsula. We have a landfill manager who actually specifically does the Central Peninsula landfill. I pretty much take care of all of the waste on the peninsula.
Well, thanks for that. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. I've been here. I'm closing in on being here for 1 year. I'm originally from Wisconsin and most recently moved here from northern Minnesota. I've got a master's degree in environmental engineering from Milwaukee School of Engineering. The department consists of not just myself, but we've got two contract administrators, some admin staff, environmental manager, and then the landfill manager. At the landfill, we actually have 10.5 full-time employees that operate that facility. And then in the summertime, we staff it with 6 to 8 additional seasonal staff.
So you were at the meeting remotely, of course, at the last meeting of the Kenai Peninsula Borough Resilience and Security Commission's Solid Waste Subcommittee. Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with them? What are the meetings like?
We've been attending some of their meetings here to provide information to the commission and kind of act as a technical support. We make ourselves available to the best of our ability. I think I should probably expand on everything that we do. The department actually manages not just Central Peninsula Landfill, which is a Class 1 landfill, but we also operate two transfer facilities, which include monofills, which are the Homer and Seward sites. We operate those through contractors. We have a total of 5 Class 3 landfills, which are the remote landfills that are off the road systems. That's Beluga, Tyonek, Soldovia, Nanwalek, and Port Graham. And then we also have 3 manned transfer facilities that's on another contract. And those are the Kenai, Nikiski, Sterling ones that our folks might be familiar with. We've got 8 unmanned transfer sites, which are the dumpsters that are located, such as people might be familiar with Hope, Crown Point, Cooper Landing, Funny River, Kasiloff, Nanochik, Anchor Point, and McNeil Canyon. And then on top of all that, we have 6 closed landfills that we manage. And if folks aren't aware, when you own and operate a landfill, you are obligated by state and federal rule to do long-term monitoring upon their closure. So the 6 closed landfills, you have to monitor for a minimum of 30 years. That could be as long as 40, 50 years, whatever the state, or in this case, it's actually managed by the state, but whenever they tell you you are done with your long-term monitoring, you're done.
What kind of monitoring do you do? It just sounds fascinating to me because it sounds like, you know, if we've got 50, 60-year-old landfills, they're like archaeological sites, practically.
Right. The long-term monitoring involves you're looking to make sure the integrity of your cover system, your cap, stays intact. You're looking for settlement, burrowing animals, and then you've got groundwater monitoring as well with that. And they're basically monitoring it to see that all the waste in there is degraded to a state where it's finally stable. So you'll get settlement on the landfill as things degrade and reduce in volume. So there's a whole host of things you look for.
I'm sure we're going to get a question about abandoned vehicles and junked cars.
So, right. What
happens when someone's car has been abandoned for months and finally gets towed away?
The borough has been accepting cars at the landfill. I don't know all the details on the history, but I believe in the day, you know, years ago, we were actually segregating scrap metals from the waste stream in order to preserve landfill space and be responsible stewards. And as long as we were doing that, and there was an abandoned vehicle issue years ago, I believe since the scrap steel price at that time was high, the borough said, we will accept the vehicles. If you haven't heard already, in the Homer site specifically right now, we're going through a closure project. And so we don't have the physical footprint to accept cars anymore. So we had to turn them away. And I should probably back up. The scrap metals that we accumulate, we actually have a contractor, the scrap metal company in Soldotna, goes around and actually segregates it into different classified materials and then compacts it into little cubes and then sends it to market down in Seattle area. We literally just accumulate and manage the material for the contractor. So that's actually one of my pushes right now, is to get people to take these automobiles directly to them and remove the middleman, because the borough doesn't need to be in the business of accepting scrap cars.
You mentioned closure for the Homer landfill?
As you complete a single cell, when you put your last bit of waste in there, you've got, according to state and federal rules, you've got 180 days to close that cell. We have closed one cell several years ago on the kind of the south and west corner. This summer, we will be starting the closure of the next cell, which we call it the phase 2 closure, which is the south and east corner of the landfill. And we've got one cell remaining. It's actually divided into thirds. So the northern third is all that remains at that facility.
So does that mean that Homer needs to start looking for, or the borough needs to start looking for, a new landfill space in Homer?
Yes, that is one of our projects that we are in the midst of starting. We have kicked it off already. The first step is evaluating whether you need a landfill down there or not. So that'll be part of the economic analysis that will be going out to a consultant.
Oh, you mean like, and it could be, Homer could just become a series of transfer stations as opposed to a landfill?
In theory, yeah, that could be a possibility, but in reality, the it's pretty likely that study will flush out that we need to site a new inert waste landfill. Right now, and if you aren't aware, the household trash portion of the waste stream that goes through Homer actually is trucked up to Central Peninsula Landfill, and likewise for Seward.
I guess what I can do is just switch the focus back onto the Resilience and Security Commission's Solid Waste Committee. One of the things that they are tasked with studying and dealing with is recycling. Can you talk to people a little bit about the journey that a glass bottle makes from their recycling bin to where does it go?
Sure. When you start talking about recycling, it's especially here in Alaska, the real handicaps are getting the materials to market because there is no recycling market up here. For instance, the scrap steel, like we talked about, there is a recycler that cubes it up and ships it down to the lower 48. When you start talking about the more commonly thought of products like cardboard, paper, aluminum, plastics, those are all gathered up and then shipped out of Anchorage down to the Seattle area and shipped out there for market. Now, there's some things that you're probably aware of that there no longer is a market for, and there's nobody to actually take it, like the plastic film bags. Those, in 2019, that market disappeared. We have no place to go for that. When you start looking at plastics, the number ones and number twos, we actually don't get any value out of recycling it. The value is doing the right thing and repurposing it, reusing it for something else. So the mixed paper, that actually cost the borough a substantial amount of money to recycle, but we offset that cost with the aluminum recycling. Aluminum recycling, that price has also been dropping, but it actually is still a marketable commodity. Cardboard is typically around $0, so there's no gain or loss other than the shipping, the transportation costs. So we use aluminum as a currency to pay for our program. Glass, we no longer have a market. No one takes glass anymore. They don't even ship it out of here. That, we actually, at Central Peninsula Landfill, we use it as a construction material. All the pipe bedding is bedded in, you know, washed stone, which is very expensive. Well, we substitute glass in for some of our washed stone needs. And that kind of serves a dual purpose. It's a cheap and economic means of reusing a product. And that actually leads me to another thing that I would like to kind of bring up for you, for the listeners. Alaska in general it's a cultural thing for reusing materials and repurposing, passing it on to the next person, which is a very admirable thing that I support. But where it goes in the wrong direction is they are utilizing our facilities as more of a dumping ground so somebody can salvage it. And what that causes is a problem of when a mattress sits out there in the rain for a day or two, it's no longer has value. And as far as the regulatory agencies look at it, as soon as you put stuff on the ground, it's classified as litter. What I have been encouraging people at the Resiliency Commission is try to find means to divert this stuff for reuse before it gets to our facilities, direct it to a specific facility that is already established. Even with construction waste, there's a new nonprofit in Sterling, and they are accepting construction materials, turn around and sell them. And then there's somebody in Seward that's actually talking about doing the exact same thing. There's a good chance that people might ask about bark beetle trees, woody waste that we have to manage. Give you a little information
Sure.
about the woody debris.
I would love to hear about the bark beetle wood.
The first year of it, we probably saw a tenfold increase, which was 2 years ago. We saw about a tenfold increase of what we normally handle for woody debris. This last year, we doubled that even. We have 3,600 tons of woody debris, which, if you think about it, that's 3,600 full heaping pickup loads worth of woody debris that came to Central Peninsula Landfill, and that's all I'm talking to. We also collected at Seward and Homer. Land Management has one out in Cooper Landing where woody debris was accepted, but only thing I have for numbers is the Central Peninsula Landfill because we scale it, but that's 3,600 tons. We're speculating and projecting that we may see 4,000 to 4,500 tons this next year based upon the rate of gain on the accumulation. So it's a lot of material. And I know a lot of people have been angling and pushing for us. We chipped and grinded a whole bunch of woody debris. We did like 1,600 tons worth of it at the beginning of this last summer because of the burn ban, the statewide burn ban. Folks are a big fan of that, but the problem with chipping and grinding is it's three times the cost of burning. And the borough is, you know, part of our job is to effectively manage the borough's money with how we handle the waste. And it's pretty hard to justify spending three times the cost to manage a waste stream. And after you grind it, it only reduces its volume by, say, 20-30%. It doesn't get rid of the problem. You still have to find a place for it. And I know folks were wanting to incorporate that in composting and whatnot, but you're talking about an exorbitant amount of wood chips.
There's no real use for it. It can't be made into anything. There's no market for it except for as compost, but it can't be exclusively the compost you're using. It can be a little bit of everything else.
Right. And, you know, and once again, when you start talking about trying to find a market for it, our stated mission is to dispose of waste generated inside the borough in the most economically feasible and environmentally responsible manner, according to code and state rules. When you start talking about doing that, it's going outside of our normal purview.
Got it.
We're not. We aren't in the business to create a end product for use. And, you know, and maybe that's something that somebody out there listening wants to take on themselves is, hey, I'll take all the wood waste rather than going to the borough landfill.
Great. Well, that's a perfect segue for me to end this conversation and then throw it back to Alex and Randy from the Solid Waste Subcommittee, because I know that compost is one of the things that's high on their list to create for, you know, a place for the community so that they can contribute to compost and take some out when they need it. What are some of the things that people bring to the landfill that they should wait for hazardous waste dump and not just put it in their trash?
You know, I would say the number one thing would be the paints and the solvents that people just orphan when they come. That is a frequent flyer that we see. One thing that I think I would bring up is an oddball that we've seen a few times now is marine flares. We actually had at least one fire so far just in my short tenure because of marine flares being disposed of with their household trash. They tucked it in there and hid it. The people in Homer actually screened the waste and pulled a couple of them out, but they must have missed one because it started the trailer on fire and we were close to losing the facility. Quick action of the contractor. They couldn't extinguish it. And they pulled the truck with the trailer of waste out of the building. And then Homer Fire came and extinguished the fire.
Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
And I looked up that next hazardous waste event in Homer, and it is May 8th.
Dan Court, Solid Waste Director for the Kenai Peninsula Borough. And thanks to Dan for making time for us yesterday. And I just got an email to Kathleen at kbbi.org from Dan, who is multitasking right now on a Zoom meeting up the peninsula. He wanted to clarify that number five plastics, what the question the listener was asking, number five plastics are like clamshells for sandwiches. And Plastics themselves are recycled out of our landfill and sent to the lower 48, but there is no market to recycle the number 5 plastics like clamshells for sandwiches. So thanks so much to Dan Court for making time for us.